Amen. So great job. I just feel such a good spirit this morning. I don't know how you feel, but I just feel like a deep breath. I just feel that way. And I don't know how you feel, but you know, this question just came to my mind as we were worshiping, and it's just this. What do you need to lay down this morning? What do you need to lay down? I want you to be thinking of that as we go through the message today. But welcome. Thank you for being here today. Welcome, Hope at Home. One quick thing. In 2 weeks, we're going to do some baptisms. Come on. That's exciting, man. This is exciting. And so I do have someone that is going to get baptized. Not going to reveal who it is, but I'm very excited for that person. And if you have been thinking about that, I just want you to know there's an opportunity in 2 Sundays from now to make that decision. So let me know, okay? Let us know, let a staff person know, and we will meet and we will get it done, okay? So I'm excited for that. In 2 weeks, if you haven't been with us, we are going through the Gospel of Mark. We are heading through the whole book by the end of the year, so we're plowing through. I want to continue this week. We talked a little bit last week about offense, right? Taking up offense. I want to continue talking about offenses this week as we move through these next couple chapters. We talked last week, if you were here, about Jesus coming back to his hometown where he wasn't welcomed, right? Can you imagine that? Do you think you could ever be that kind of person? Not welcoming Jesus into his own home? Well, think about that for a minute. Could you be that kind of person? Maybe we're more like those people than we think, right? There's a home Jesus wants to be welcomed into. But his own people that he grew up with didn't welcome him, and they took up offense at him. And then we move on and we see that by the end of Mark chapter 6, people outside of his town are being healed all over the place. And they're traveling from everywhere to find Jesus. I mean, what a massive difference in the way people respond to Jesus, right? His hometown rejecting him. Outside of his town, people are finding him. Let's take a second look at a scripture that we read last week from 1 Peter. Peter is quoting from the prophet Isaiah here about the coming of the Messiah and what it would be like when he actually showed up. Here we go, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. For in scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. And the one who trusts in him will" what? "Never be put to shame." No shame. Boy, there's a relief right there, right? To feel no shame. "Now to you who believe, this stone, this cornerstone, is precious." Why? Why is this so precious to those who believe? Well, it's the cornerstone. It's the foundation stone. But it's also the, say it, stone. It's the no shame stone. Man, that is what I want. But it goes on. Let's carry on. "To those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." Oh, so wait. So it's still the cornerstone, right? For those who have rejected it. But but a stone that causes people to stumble. And what did we say the word stumble means in Greek last week? Do you remember? The Greek word is the word for, I'm going to give you the answer, offense. It's the word for offense. A stone that causes people to stumble or be offended, and a rock that makes them fall. Why? Because they stumble because they disobey the message. Isn't that crazy? And so it's amazing that the very same stone that you have received and you have come to know in your life as the precious cornerstone, what your life is built upon, it's the same stone that causes great offense in others. But what is this stone really? For us, it's our salvation. Jesus Christ, right? But to those who reject it, what is the stone? It is the stumbling block of human pride. And this is about the way in which you build your life. It is a challenge to our self-righteousness. And that's the message of the gospel, isn't it? Let me ask you some questions here this morning, okay? Can you get to heaven on your own? Okay, good answer. Can you do enough to be good enough? Can you go far enough? Can you love enough? Can you work enough? No. Any attempt to try to be enough is not enough, and you too will stumble over the stumbling stone in your own self-righteous pride if you try it that way. And that is actually why we stumble. And why we hold on to offenses, it's actually our own pride. Whether it comes from rebellion or it comes from self-righteousness, it's why we don't say sorry. It's why we don't think we need to say sorry. Right? The stumbling comes from the same place, from the sense of pride in us. And we started this whole chapter saying, this is the story of the good news, the spreading of the good news. And this gets right to the heart of the good news. The good news is that a way has been made into heaven, into the presence of God, where there was no way. It reminds me, we sang a little bit about it today. It reminds me of when the Israelites were stuck with their backs to the sea and their faces to Pharaoh's army. Remember that story? And he wanted to drag them back into their slavery, and there was no way out. And suddenly, there was a way out. There was a way where there was no way. And God drove back the sea. And that is the message that we need to hold on to. There is a way out of the sin that so easily entangles us. But we need the cornerstone in our lives. Oh, we will all stumble. And we will all continue to stumble until we align ourselves with Jesus. And I want to just carry this analogy out a little bit farther today. I literally want to carry this. So I need a couple volunteers. Oh, yes, Grant Shores, you can come up. Come on. And oh, by the way, Levi St. Clair, you can come up too. Come on, God, let's give these guys a quick hand. Grant, why don't you come stand over here? Thank you, guys, for being willing participants today. Yeah, good, good. Why don't you stand right over there, Grant? And Levi, you could stand right there. Okay. Grant, here's what I want to do. I'm going to give you this offense here. I just would like you to carry that for a little bit. Okay? No, I just kind of want you to be up here with me and just kind of hang on to it as long as you can. Can you? Do you want to, like, take a walk? Or?
Sure.
Yeah. Why don't you just walk around and just carry that thing for a while? Hey, Levi. How are you?
Good.
Good to see you. Thanks for coming up. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling? Feeling good?
Yeah.
Strong?
Yeah.
Light?
Yeah.
Not burdened? Would you like some water? Do you want? Can I get you some water? How you doing, Grant? Okay. You, can you keep going for a while, or I just? Do you want some water? Okay. Yeah. Here you go. That's nice job. You good, Grant? Good. All right. Hey, Grant. Anytime you want, you can come back when you want, and you can give that thing to Levi. Okay. Well, come on back. You're doing good. You're doing good. I mean, I bet you could go a lot of times with that. But come on back up.
I think Levi needs to turn it.
Well, I don't want you to give it to him just yet. I want you to come up. But I did say that, but I'm going to take that back for a minute.
Sounds good.
Would you like some water after? Can I give you
sure.
some water? You guys mind drinking out of the same glass? I didn't plan that one out.
It's all good.
Yeah?
It's all good.
Can you?
I can't really. Here. Yeah, I can.
Okay, here you go. Here, can you want to take that too? you actually did it. Good. All right, I got here. This is. I got another offense for you here. If you wanna, can you do that? How long you think you could carry that for?
The glass spilling. I don't know.
That's pretty. Do you want to go around a few more times?
I'll give it a shot.
No, don't give it a shot. No, we'll keep him here. I know. Oh my goodness. That was well done. That was really well done. All right, why don't you just hand one of those off to Levi? Good. Can you get those? How's that feel?
Let's make sure it's.
Does that feel a little better? All right, here. Here, you take that. Good job. All right, let's put those down. Here, I'll help you out. Thank you, guys. Let's give these guys a big hand, okay? Good job. Thank you. Thank you for that. It's a little bit hard to receive things and hold the things that you need. He's going to finish my water, man. You guys worked hard. You can go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead. All right, you guys are good. Thank you. Give these guys a big hand. Thank you. It's a little bit hard to receive the things that maybe you want or need, right, when you're carrying a load, right? And you might be carrying one offense, but then it's not long before you're carrying another offense, right? And that's the kind of stuff that happens, and we need to give these things away, right? We can lay them down before the feet of Jesus. How do we deal with these kind of offenses that we like to carry around or that we just have a hard time laying down? Well, let's keep going in Mark. I want to do some more, all right? Jesus is being pursued now. This is a complete reversal from when he was going out in the beginning of Mark and he was going to find the lost, and now the lost are finding him wherever he is. At this point in ministry, word has spread like wildfire. In spite of Jesus attempting to keep some of his ministry quiet, he actually tried to keep it. He'd tell people, like, don't tell people about this, right? He was trying to keep it quiet because he knew it was going to spread like fire. He tried to do that for as long as possible. Now, people are chasing after him and begging just to touch him, and they're being healed everywhere, people outside his town. Let's pick it up in Mark chapter 6, the very end, verse 55. Here we go. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. Wow. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or the countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. Verse 56, they begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. You see the scene here. People are starting to find him and crowd around him and beg him. And they aren't the only ones who are trying to find him. The Pharisees and teachers of the law are tracking him down as well. They had traveled all the way from Jerusalem, which would have taken them, hey, at least a week. It's a long journey, right? By foot or by camel or however they went, right? And they are there for another reason. They're there to observe and to investigate what's going on. Now, think about this for a minute. The Pharisees have traveled quite a long way to observe and investigate, and they're seeing this whole scene. People running after Jesus. They're seeing miracles take place. Or at least they're hearing a whole bunch of stories about miracles taking place. And if they just hung around Jesus for long enough, they certainly would see some. So here they are on this scene of all these people finding Jesus. Mark chapter 7, verse 5. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" That is a pretty shockingly cold response to seeing people begging to touch Jesus and to seeing the sick carried on mats and being healed, right? Hey, you didn't wash your hands before you ate that, right? Jesus did not like that one bit, and here is what Jesus himself said. Verse 6, he replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." And they kept stumbling, right? They kept stumbling over their own pride. They thought they were better because they washed their hands first. But why would they even think that? Well, they believed in cleanliness. There's nothing wrong with that. They believed in washing the dirt off their bodies. I've got no problems with that. I mean, take a shower, right? Hopefully most of you took a shower before you came today, or maybe at least yesterday. I'll accept that too. We probably all showered in the last 48 hours, I hope. Right? There's nothing wrong with that, but they became mostly about what was going on the outside of the body. We can take showers every day. That doesn't change what's on the inside of us. For these guys, tradition became their cornerstone, and they became offended by everything Jesus did. And their cornerstone caused them, oftentimes you see this throughout God's word, it caused their blindness to the mercy of God. And Jesus goes on to say in chapter 7, verse 15, he says, you know what? Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. That's not what I'm talking about. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. It's what comes out of you. How you treat others, what you say, what your actions are, how you take advantage of others and things like this and what you say and hateful words and these things that come out of us is what Jesus is after. Now, pay close attention to this next story, because this is phenomenal. What a demonstration we get to consider from a desperate mother. There's not a whole lot that's more powerful than a desperate mother. I'll tell you that. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus left that place. Okay, where he was being criticized. He left that place and he went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house, and listen to this, and did not want anyone to know it. All right? So he took some measures to not be found. See? Jesus feels that too. He's like, I don't want to be found today. All right? He took some measures to not be found. Maybe he just wanted to contemplate a little bit about how people can be so religious that they're ready to condemn someone for washing their hands, right? Or not washing their hands. I don't know. That's crazy, huh? It goes on. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. Now reflect back for just a minute. Jesus was amazed in his hometown at what? Anyone remember? The lack of faith in his hometown, his Jewish hometown, full of people waiting for a Messiah. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Verse 26, the woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. We call her the Syrophoenician woman. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. And here Jesus is in the region of Tyre, a Gentile territory. I thought he wasn't here for the Gentiles, right? He was here for the sheep of Israel, the children of Israel. He's here in the Gentile territory, and he finds desperate faith. What does faith look like that Jesus is pleased with? Now, this is interesting. I'm going to ask for Matthew's help this morning, okay? Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew. He's going to help us. You'll notice that some of the stories that we go through are in other Gospels, right? And they have slightly different details because of the audience that they're written to. Here's what Matthew tells us about this same situation. He says, Jesus did not answer a word. So she's pleading for him to cast the demon out of her daughter. She's desperate. Jesus didn't answer a word. And then his disciples, it says in Matthew 15, that his disciples came to him and said, hey, send her away. Can you just send her away? She keeps crying out after us. Can you just please send her away? So that's the situation. And what comes out of the story? The persistence of this woman is really brought before our eyes. It's clear that this problem is not going to take care of itself, right? It's not like when your kids like say, hey, can you help me find my shoes? And you like secretly ignore them down the hallway. You like pretend like you don't hear and hopefully they'll find their shoes. No, I don't do that. I don't ignore them. It's not like that, okay? This is a problem that's not going to go away. And point number one here today, to write this down, okay? Faith that pleases the Lord is persistent. Faith that pleases the Lord is persistent. But it also means that silence from Him does not mean He's not listening to you. And it doesn't mean He's not interested in you. He loves you. It's actually an invitation. If you feel the Lord is silent, it's an invitation for you to get deeper and to go deeper and to be more desperate and to have deeper trust in Him. And when we want to be in the presence of Jesus enough, right? Not to just, when it goes beyond just investigating, and that's a good thing for a while to investigate, but when it goes beyond that and you know, we're ready to plead for help from Him, there's not a whole lot that's going to stop you from forcefully going after Jesus. Amen? Faith has force behind it. We have to want it. We have to want Jesus in our lives and in our homes. Number two, faith that pleases the Lord shows great humility in the process of persistence. Okay, so faith is persistent, but faith that pleases God shows great humility in the process of persistence. Now listen to this answer from Jesus and put yourself in this situation. Mark chapter 7, verse 27. He says, first, let the children eat all they want. He means the children of Israel. And he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. I'm ready to pick that up. You know what I'm saying? Someone says something like that to me, I want to pick that up. Can you imagine being called that? Now, what does he mean? You know, a lot of you have puppy dogs at home. Anyone have a dog? Yeah? You love your dog? Okay. I used to have a dog. I got rid of it. That's true. You got a big steak on the table. You don't give it to the dog. You give it to your kids first, right? It would be wrong to let the dog eat all the food and not feed your family. You get that. You get that. Honestly, scholars say that he was calling her more of a puppy dog in a house and not so much like a dirty, mangy dog, but a puppy dog. And so that makes Jesus sound more loving. That's what the scholars say. That might be true. I'm okay with that. But either way, he called her a dog, right? If you call me a dirty dog or a puppy dog, I can find offense in both things. But the true test of humility, can you take this kind of scrutiny and not pick this up? That's hard. I'm guilty. I haven't always left it. I've sometimes picked it up. Can you not pick up the stumbling stone? Now listen. Mark 7. This woman has just been called a dog. Verse 28, she says, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. That is powerful. What comes out of you when you are offended? Things can get ugly, can't they? Things can get angry. Things can get hateful and cold and unloving and intense really quick. Right? Words can sting hard. Emotions can run high. Disappointment and doubt can take hold. Embarrassment, shame, resentment, confusion can lead to withdrawal from people, from friends. You know, the Pharisees were so offended by Jesus that they not only rejected him, but they plotted to find a way to get rid of him from their lives forever. They wanted to kill him, and they were only planning for his eternal kingship over their lives by stumbling over the stumbling stone. Because the cornerstone is the cornerstone, no matter how you look at it. And I love God's word. Don't you love God's word? It's either the cornerstone of my life or it is the offense of my life. But you decide which one it is in yours. Now think about the stories. As we kind of wrap things up here, think about the stories we just came out of. Jesus calming the storm. Wow. Power over creation. Jesus casting out demons, right? Power over the spiritual. Jesus walking on water, but no honor in his hometown. Jesus feeding the 5,000. They had 12 baskets left over, but this woman doesn't need 12 baskets left over. She needs just a crumb. Just one crumb from the table of Jesus. And I have this question for you today. Is Jesus enough for your life? Is he enough for you? That's faith. And Jesus loved it. He loved it. And he said a very different thing to her than he said to the Pharisees. Verse 29, he said, then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. And three, the third thing, faith, when it's pleasing to the Lord, triumphs. Faith triumphs. She didn't pick up the offense of being called a dog, right? And she didn't allow the offense to keep her away either. You know, that's what we do sometimes. We can either take up the offense or be mad, or we can allow the offense to keep us away from Jesus, away from church, away from other people. It's not what God wants. When he was in his hometown, he was face to face with people, but there was no healing, very little that could take place. But here in this foreign land, we find that God's grace was meant for all who will humble themselves before him. Amen. I want to invite the worship team to come up and lead us in our final song. I think we might have a special presentation today, too. It's going to be exciting. As they're coming, listen. We can take up the offense of the cross, or we can decide to align ourselves with the cornerstone. And that same cornerstone becomes the no shame stone. To give your life to Jesus. What does James tell us? God opposes the proud, but shows what? Grace to who? The humble, anybody who will do that. What did David say? He said, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, or a humble heart, you will never despise. Amen. A crumb from his table is enough to change everything in your life. Amen. Pray with me. Father God, oh, I just echo that today. Lord, just one crumb. Lord, let us be desperate for your presence. You are the only one who has the power to save us from sin, from these ailments. God, let us lay down our offenses and not carry these things around with us, but to know, God, to know your grace, to know the no shame stone, to know you as the one who takes our shame away and our sin away, not to view you as the one who offends. God, teach us this. Thank you, God, for your sacrifice on the cross. You were the one. You bowed even lower. You called this woman a dog. Scripture says that you became a worm. Even under the earth, you bowed low. You gave your life so that we could be free of sin and shame. Thank you, God. We love you because you loved us. Amen.